From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad on another different week with me, Eric Wiltshire, in Poprad at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, and Lee Banks over there in the UK.
Yeah, that's where I am, in the UK.
Yes.
That's about as much as you can say about my life, in the UK.
Oh, dear. Anyway, you know how much we love the political correctness police on our program, boys and girls? Well, yeah. This week, another Eric fell victim.
Right.
Another Eric fell victim to...
Sorry, did I speak over you then?
Yes, to the political correctness police, thank you. And not only did he fall victim to him, he didn't lay down, and Lee's got the story, because he then stood up and went, get lost.
Why have I got to do this story?
Because it's in front of you, I haven't put it on my screen.
Oh, I see, okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just a bit of technical chicanery going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, yeah, and thanks now to the help of a fellow flying enthusiast, he's finally had the chance to reacquaint himself with the air, and he's flying again. And how old is he, Eric?
He was let's explain the story to people. Originally, what was Eric's surname?
Carter.
That's it, Eric Carter. Eric Carter was a Spitfire pilot in World War II, and his dream was to fly a Spitfire again. And the health and safety police said, you can't do that, you're 91, if I remember right.
91 years, die.
91 years old. And so the health and safety police said, you can't do that, you're 91. And Eric's quite, I mean, he's not like me and Lee, he's quite a healthy lad. You know, and he's a fit-looking bloke as well. Tall, nice, thin guy. And
oh, here we go.
He's a very handsome man.
Oh, no, here we go even more.
And I'll be honest.
He's a pensioner.
He doesn't look 91.
Well, he doesn't. Not in your eyes.
No.
Not in your rose-tinted spectacles.
He doesn't look 91.
Should that be pink-tinted spectacles?
So Eric says, I'd like to fly a Spitfire. And the health and safety police go, no.
Not a chance,
pal.
Crash it.
And like he's going to crash it. Yeah, unbelievable. So this other pilot helped out, didn't he, Lee?
Well, he did. And just let me tell you something else, which I'm sorry, when Eric chucked this story at me, I hadn't read it either. But I did know of it. I know it, and I think I can see the import of it. But something else that has just appeared about this, which is quite incredible. The Potteries Museum, which is just up the road from me in Stoke-on-Trent, actually has a Spitfire sitting inside the museum because the Spitfire was invented up there.
That's right.
And Mr. Carter, yeah, he was invented, the bloke who invented it, but not Burslem, I can't remember, Anshut, no, anyway, somewhere in Stoke. And Mr. Carter, this jolly handsome chap, this flying chap.
Yes.
With it, he's got a handlebar, not a handlebar moustache, one of those sort of Bob Dylan style moustaches.
No, he's got an RAF pilot's moustache.
Like Bob Dylan. And a shock of curly hair, ladies and gentlemen.
He has, actually, yeah.
Yes, he's lovely. Yeah. And anyway, he went to the Potteries Museum and asked if he could sit in the plane, and they wouldn't even let him sit in a Spitfire on the ground.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Crazy, man, crazy, absolutely.
I mean, that's the way we treat our heroes from World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, how inconsiderate can you get? Do you know,
I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's done it, hasn't he?
Yep, he's been up there, and whilst he was up in there, he was given the controls, namely by the words, you have control. Eric says, I have control. And he flies the plane because that's how you do it. And
good pictures of him doing it, isn't there?
There's some lovely pictures. I'm sure all of his family are very proud. And I'd just like to take my hat off to you, Eric, because what you did, I think, was just phenomenal. And to the health and safety police, are you ready for this? Pin back your lug holes, health and safety police.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was a fly past of a Spitfire with Eric Carter at the helm.
I was just looking up to see if I'd got all my sound effects of Spitfires, but I haven't got them ready. Oh, no. Otherwise, I would have thrown one in, I can assure you.
Your computer screen will look like a toilet window now.
It probably will. Well, something like that, anyway. Where was I going now? Oh, I know. Prince Harry.
Oh, my God, I've lost my thing. You've sent me all over the... Yeah, Prince Harry, what we're going to say about that, man? I think this is probably the best story about the press.
We're about to have an argument. We're having an argument.
Why?
Listen,
let me make my point. Let me make my stand clear as I sit here now with the microphone shoved up my nose.
Right.
The UK press, there is no doubt about it. The media, I'm talking about newspapers, ludicrously went on the run from Levinson and his committee. There is no doubt that the press were afraid of him. And when this story over Harry getting his royal downstairs apparatus out in public, there is no doubt it was in public, ladies and gentlemen. It might have been in a hotel room at a private party, but there were lots of people there who were from the public, so this was a public act.
So when does a private room turn into public then?
If you've got members of the public in it, if you're there with your family and you get your thing out, then that's up to you. You know, your mother and your grandmother are sitting.
If you get your Harry out, is what you're saying.
Yeah, your Harry the Hatchet. Yes, if you get that out in front of your mother and your grandmother, it's up to them to remonstrate with you. They might not mind, but if you do it in a room full of young people who you've only just met down a club, then it becomes a public act.
Ah.
But it's even beyond that. What Harry did, I'm of the same view as everybody else, up to a point that Harry did nothing wrong.
It was just a bit of frivolity.
Yes. Yes. But the fact was that finally this story broke, because it is quite inoffensive, unless you want to look at the serious aspects of should the man who's third in line to the throne of one of the world's greatest countries,
should he really be
doing what he did?
Academic. He's never going to be king.
Doesn't matter. He's still a very powerful man and an important member of our royal family.
I think
should he have been doing that?
I think he's very powerful in his conduct of going to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And also, I think he's more powerful than most people in the UK for already saying he's going back.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. He's an admirable character. And what he did as an admirable character isn't that shocking. I've never actually done that in public. I've done some terrible things in public, but I've never got my gentleman's sausage out in public.
No.
Oh, no, I can't say. No, that's not true. Anyway, so, but what I'm saying is...
The truth is he's now sort of grimacing his brain, working it through. You can hear it's like an old-fashioned computer thinking... I wonder if those 5 days of my life, which I don't remember, I might have done that.
No, I remember where I did it and when I did it and who was there and why I was ashamed afterwards.
All right. So you have done it then?
Not share it.
All right.
But, well, I will if you want. Do you want to know the day that I got my downstairs apparatus out in public?
No.
All right then. So let me continue to say that the Sun... This picture of Harry, which is a completely inoffensive picture anyway,
doesn't show his dangly bits anyway.
Oh, it doesn't. No, you just see his hands. And if the Sun hadn't put a crown over the member of the royal family's backside area,
yes,
then you might have seen a little bit more than you wanted to.
I doubt it.
Anyway, I'm still making this point that these pictures were seen all over the world, could be published anywhere, and the British press, at a time when it's being attacked from all sides and having its power taken away from it potentially, fell in line and refused to publish the pictures. Then the Sun said, no, we are actually going to stand up for the freedom of the press. We are actually going to stand up and make a stand for it. I know that's an inadvised word under the circumstances.
Slightly.
But Rupert Murdoch also had to be involved in the decision to
Do you think they really bothered to phone Rupert Murdoch up?
I'm convinced of it, because the editor of The Sun would have lost his job, and that job is worth a lot of money, would have lost his job if Murdoch had been offended by those pictures. He would have lost his job. There's no doubt the proprietor of a newspaper very often gets involved in something which has this kind of political import. He was going against the government. He was going against the
They weren't going against, to be honest, some weren't really going against the government.
Well, they were going against the government in as much that the government in the UK were leaning towards the attitude of the royal family, which
I mean, the royal family did say, and it is public knowledge, that they did request the pictures were not shown. And to be fair, the Sun covered up every part that you could ever want to see if you wanted to see that sort of thing.
Well, you also have to put into this the fact that the palace did say they would prefer not to see these pictures published. Mm. And also added on the end of it that if you do, you will be hearing from our solicitors. Mm. So they were taking it quite seriously. Mm-hmm. But this attack on the freedom of British press...
I still don't see why it's an attack on the freedom, Lee. Because they've done it. They've taken the decision that somebody said something, okay, and the Sun have said, no thanks, we don't agree with you, we're going to do what we want and publish the pictures. So it's not an attack on the British press.
It is. The whole Levinson inquiry is an attack on the British press. And the attack on the British press over these was that it was decided that these pictures shouldn't be shown in Britain under the pain of the royal solicitors and all sorts of mayhem, loss of advertising, all sorts of things, were threatened against the press to make sure that they were this was the only country in the world that didn't show those pictures. And the other...
Well, no, that's not true either, because a lot of countries around the world haven't bothered. And before the programme today, I said to Martina, you know, have the pictures been on television or anything here? She said, what pictures?
No, but you can get them on the internet. Anybody across the world can go on the internet and find them.
Of course. But what I'm saying is, I asked if the, for want of a better term, the traditional media had... Because the royal family is very much a huge topic in Slovakia, you know, and if there's something to do with the royal family in any way, shape or form, they will jump on it.
I agree.
But they didn't bother. Nobody cared.
The thing is, we know, you and I know, that the Slovak nation are grand biscuit lovers, but maybe they just don't like ginger nuts. The fact that this was an attack on the press, because we were the only country that were being held there and not allowed to publish these pictures. We could go ahead and publish them, but the threats that were made from proprietors, from the royal family, from proprietors, from the...
If the owners of the papers didn't want them published, that's their call, and I very much respect that. If Mr. Murdoch decided as an owner he was happy with them to be published, and that either does or doesn't impact on the sale of newspaper and or advertising in newspapers, then so be it. But what I'm seeing, certainly from looking around the internet, the vast majority of people are going, don't care.
Yes, but it was the gesture. This was a relatively inoffensive story, which wouldn't create an incredible scandal. But somebody had to stand up and make that story an issue. And that's what happened.
Can you find out this for me? Because I'd be intrigued to know, seriously.
Go on, then.
Has the day that the Sun put the pictures on the front cover, did they actually sell more newspapers? I'd love to know.
I would say categorically, yes, they would sell more pictures, papers.
I don't think anybody cared that much.
Of course the world cares. That's why we're spending so long on it. That's why everybody's talking about. This is one of the biggest stories.
No, it's not. The argument here is one between Lee and Eric. Lee says it was, you know, trying to put a gag on the freedom of the press in the UK.
Let me just read you this.
Hang on, let me finish. And I will say...
He thinks he's on Newsnight, ladies and gentlemen.
The public don't care.
The public, of course the public care.
Well, not
of course the public care.
No, most of them, if you look around all different places, they're all going, don't care, he's a nice young lad, we don't care about it. The we don't care about it thing is everywhere.
If that indeed is true, which I don't think it is true, because what I've seen is that people do care and people are actually asking the questions, that does somebody at 27 years old who has the responsibility of a country and what the world's most famous family the weight of those on his shoulders. Does he have any right at all to cavort naked in front of people he doesn't know with his security guards? Said, I'm not sure if they were, but he said that they were asleep, that he exposed himself and the royal family and this country to ridicule and all sorts of accusations.
But around the world, no one's ridiculing it, though. That's the trouble.
Everybody's ridiculing it. He's being ridiculed everywhere. That's why the story's out.
Because, but the public are saying opposite.
Because he acted like a child. He acted like a stupid child who, just because he was there and because he was rich and he was famous and because he had this power, that...
So you reckon because he's...
Everybody else in the room had the kit off. Had his kit off.
Other people did.
Have you fell out with me?
No, I just said other people did.
Other people did, but not everybody in the room. It wasn't like he joined a nudist colony.
But other people had their kit off, yes or no?
Yes, of course they did.
I rest my case.
And if he'd have gone for... And this is how bad it is. This is how bad what he did. Mm. And the press generally have been really fair to him. It was such an easy situation to create this debauchery, a story about debauchery and orgies out of that story and those pictures. The press could have done that.
I'll tell you what, Lee, I've got a better idea. I've got a better idea, because we're going to have to agree to disagree. What we should do is ask the audience.
Let's ask the audience.
It's not Millionaire, by the way, boys and girls. This is not Millionaire. We are asking the audience. What's your take on what happened in the USA with Harry? I'm not going to lead you one way or the other. What is your take on the Harry affair, Harry pictures in the USA? You can make the decision. You write to us and tell us. Via your own station, obviously Studio At or Studio at RTIFM, or via Facebook, whichever way suits you best. And you tell us what you think. And I'll tell you what, I am absolutely going to assure you I will get them down. Well, because both Lee and I get copies of all that stuff anyway, automatically.
Yes.
So we'll both see them at the same time. And therefore, we will read them out for you next week. And we'll take your view. Not ours, your view. There you go.
I couldn't agree more. What a good idea.
Thank you very much.
Can I just say to the ladies and gentlemen, before they do, very, very briefly.
You won then.
This is what journalists are about. This is the code of a journalist. At all times, uphold and defend the principle of media freedom. The right of freedom of expression, and the most important right is that of the public to be informed.
Maybe they don't want to be informed.
Then they shouldn't buy the papers.
Agreed. We agree totally. It's all about commercial sensitivity over there.
Does it?
Which is hence why some newspapers change their political stances from time to time as well. talking of newspapers, this is going to hurt me even more. The Daily Moo.
Oh yeah,
the
now,
Daily
Moo. What another vindication for the press? What a brilliant idea!
Here we go.
It is. It's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. What he's talking about is that the Daily Mirror has. You can see a sea change in the way newspapers are operating, and the Daily Mirror has actually focused on a company in Britain to say how good they were. You tell the story, Eric, because you know this best.
Well, I'm bemused as to why it's not happened before, to be perfectly honest about it.
I can explain that.
Although I think what Lee was saying with the sea change is that at long last, maybe the Daily
Mirror.
Thank you.
The mirror on the ball. They told the greatest story of all.
It could be that the Daily
Mirror.
Thank you. Are actually going first with something, because for such a long time, and we've debated this before, that newspapers are positively negative. That's the headline that everybody says claims the sales.
It's not the newspapers that are positively negative. It's the news that is positively negative.
Maybe. I'll still stick with what I'm saying. The journalists will hunt. I used to do it. We hunt down the negative stories. But in this case, what they've done is they've started to say, hang on a minute. There's life at the end of the tunnel. You might be a scientist today earning 50 pence a week or 50 cents, but you can become a plumber and probably earn a pound or a dollar or a euro.
Brilliant. And there is a point here, there is a brilliant headline that goes with this. That is Mirror Works. And this means that the mirror works in all directions and it's trying to get Britain back to work. And highlighting this man's story was just a really good thing.
Yeah, it's actually a huge pull-out section, if I remember right, admittedly. In the Daily
Mirror.
Thank you. Which is highlighting the way that people are getting off their backsides, going off and training. When everybody else is crying they haven't got any money, these guys are doing it. And this is a guy, was he...
Steve Banks, age 43.
Now, why did I know that would come out of your mouth so beautifully? And he's not related, by the way, boys and girls.
He isn't.
It's
my elder brother, actually.
Yeah. And I think he lives over in Letchworth, if memory serves. And
that's right. Yeah.
So he was a scientist, actually, a very well-paid scientist.
Yeah.
Found out that he was going to get made redundant. So he decided to retrain with a company called ATL as a plumber. Uh-huh. And set up his own business, got his own van, da-di-da-di-da, and he actually said that although he had to pay for his retraining, he's already got his investment back and he's earning more money than he did as a scientist.
He said that it was an investment in his future, and what is wrong with investing in your future? What amazes me about this is that people go to college and university and pay through the nose to do their courses.
Well, you can easily get up to a £60,000 fee for doing your university thing. And this story came out...
And how much did it cost this bloke to set himself up?
Was it about seven grand or something?
Six and a half thousand.
So, and this also came out in the same week when everybody's going, oh, there's not going to be more people in university. Yeah, and? And this is a fact I heard from... Admittedly, it was from a politician a few months ago. And I checked it, and it was true. There's more people doing photographic degrees in the UK than there are photographic jobs in the entire European Union. Now, how pathetic is that?
Absolutely ludicrous.
They altered
the way they mark your papers.
Yeah.
It becomes even more ludicrous.
Of course.
Take a leaf out of this bloke's book.
I think Tony Banks is an inspiration to everybody.
Stephen Banks.
And you know, he's broken the mould. I think the Daily
Mirror
have broken the mould. And so
they are standing up for Britain. And what they're doing is actually focusing on companies that are doing it properly.
Funny that. Mm. Now, there's a shock to the system. very much indeed. Mark Chapman, the man that murdered John Lennon, is, there's talk of him being or involved in a parole case.
Well, he's been up for parole. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else, Mark Chapman, who we are allowed to mention on this show for some inexplicable reason.
I don't think he courts publicity.
Well, actually, no, that's... Well, all right, I'll take your point, yeah. He's been up for parole seven times since he shot John Lennon. Now, the man who shot John Lennon really is... probably one of the greatest despots in this world. Mm. And he keeps coming up for parole, and he's turned down. He's been turned down again. He's 57 now, and they don't think that he's safe to come out. Mm. And I think that he wouldn't walk around the streets for very long if he did come out.
That's probably half the problem.
Well, yeah, exactly. But what amazes me, and this is really, you know, the fact that Mark Chapman's been... has been refused bail again isn't the world's greatest news story.
Parole, mate, not bail. Parole.
I'm going to catch you. It's the fact that this Anders Breivik in Norway.
That's a good one.
77 people.
Yeah.
Got 21 years for that and could actually be out on parole. In 21 years.
Let me just qualify that a little bit. Because under the Norwegian system, when it gets close to 21 years, they can extend it.
Well, they can, yeah. That's right, yeah, I'm saying. But why when Mark Chapman, who killed one man in a moment of abject madness and really changed the face of the world and became one of the despots of the world, why should he be turned down for parole when the chances are that a bloke who killed and has been proved to be sane and is proud to be sane, who killed 77 people, possibly could be walking in the streets in 21 years himself.
Yeah, it does. I agree with you. It does seem a little bit odd, for one. It does seem incredibly almost callous to the families of the people, because they must wonder what the hell's going on. And so I agree every point. I can't argue with any of your points. I think the only thing that one could say is that in the way that the system works in Norway, what's on the table now might not be the case in 21 years' time.
I don't know if Norway actually... I know that I think the maximum sentence they could give anybody in Norway is 21 years.
Yeah.
And that can be extended, like you say, if it's felt necessary. But I don't understand why a country such as Norway, or indeed any country, doesn't have some penalty that would actually match the size of the crime.
No, I agree with that as well, but I think the way their system works is slightly different to ours.
Of course it is, yeah.
What you see initially could well be something entirely different in 21 years' time. Therefore, we shouldn't read too much into it. Because
then you're taking a bit of a chance that there is a change, aren't you?
Well,
you could get some... Norway is a fairly liberal place in certain ways, and you could get some liberal-minded, whatever that word is that you can use and I can't.
Liberalised person.
Person's the word I was trying to think of. Thank you. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Could actually free the maniac.
Yeah, and he's a maniac, and this is his problem, you see.
He's been proved sane.
That's the problem, because once he was proved, that's what he wanted. He wanted to be proved sane.
So his act was a political act.
Correct. Now, the way that they could have really hurt him was to say he was insane, and by doing that, he would have lost all of his credibility and all the arguments that he was doing and his political, almost neo-Nazi-style salute. That could have messed up his entire 15 minutes of fame. But I think that the 77 families of those people have got what's deserved. The man's going inside. I wouldn't want to be him, even though if you look at a Norwegian prison, he's even got an option to go and type with a word processor on a computer laptop. But that's for security reasons. They don't want him to be murdered, I think, at the other side. Anyway, we've got to leave it there, boys and girls. That's the end of Postcard from Botbred for this week, blimey. We'll see you again next week. Take care, everybody. Take a bye, Lee.
Bye-bye, Lee.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.